ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Taylor Twellman, I need you to just jump in this time machine with me here because I'm setting the dials for October 10th, 2017. It is a rainy night in Trinidad and Tobago, and the U.S. men's national team, they need a win or a draw to qualify for the World Cup, but instead, this happens.
It's done! It's over! It is over! Trinidad, with nothing to play for, has dethroned the United States, knocking them out of the World Cup 2018.
What do you remember feeling after this loss?
How do I explain this to you, buddy?
Taylor Twellman played for the U.S. men's national team from 2002 to 2008, and he's now a soccer analyst and play-by-play guy for ESPN.
There's two ways to explain it. I can explain it to you from the personal level of I planned a bucket list golf trip in the Hamptons for the following day because I was thinking, Pablo, here's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm already in Bristol. I love fall golf. I definitely want to play Shinnecock. I haven't played National Golf League, so I'm doing the whole thing. I got all my buddies down there. We got 12 guys going. 11 are already down there. The one is in Bristol, Connecticut, planning on watching the United States qualify for a World Cup because they're going to play the worst team in the group in Trinidad. And then 2 hours later, the United States lose to Trinidad and fail to qualify for the World Cup. And within 90 seconds, I've got to coherently tell the world on ESPN News because there's a college football basketball game on,
of course,
on one and two. And so I just let it loose.
It's not just about tonight. And anyone at home, sitting at home, saying it's about the game against Trinidad and Tobago, 100% unequivocally, it is not about tonight. It's not about Jurgen Klinsmann. It's not just about Bruce Arena. As a whole, U.S. soccer is not prepared. They have not done a good enough job of getting this group ready to play. We can't beat Trinidad on a field that's too wet and too heavy. What are we doing? What are we doing?
And I'm looking at it thinking, you know what? I bet you they asked me to stay for tomorrow morning's shows. And 5 minutes later, I couldn't look at my phone.
You become instantaneously a meme.
A meme.
I see it all the time still, like during the pandemic, like unemployment numbers. What are we doing? Like you get at Will Smith gets in trouble for slapping Chris Rock. What are we doing?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
And it's just you are the patron saint of exasperation.
How I didn't say the F word?
I was going to say.
Not once, multiple times, because anyone that knows me knows it's fairly frequently used. The truth is, it was as authentic as it could be without cursing. And I had to coherently say something within it. I'm just glad I did it in a semi-professional manner.
And so here we are, Taylor, because tonight, the U.S. men's national team is heading into its final World Cup qualifier against Costa Rica. Given that as the pretext, everything you just said, give us like the headline here.
Pablo, it's quite simple. This group, this coaching staff, this front office, they're all trying to erase what are we doing.
It is a match that lives in infamy. The United States of America face planting against Trinidad and Tobago and straight up missing the Men's World Cup in 2018 entirely. But now, 4 years later, a revamped American team that's stocked with some budding international stars. They're attempting to undo the humiliation of their forebears and reboot the story of soccer in America in the process. So today, what we're doing is asking Taylor Twellman to explain a U.S. men's national team on the verge of clinching a spot in the 2022 World Cup and whether they've learned from their mistakes. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, March 30th. This is ESPN Daily.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Taylor Twellman, it's good to have you on the show, man. Thank you for coming on. I've been looking forward to this and unpacking all of your emotions and this team for a long time now.
Yeah, well, how long do we have, buddy? Because this, we could go down about six different routes to get here. But you know what? If they qualify, it kind of means it's over to an extent, doesn't it?
Well, that's what's exciting. Like, we are at this inflection point because, yes, they're playing their final World Cup qualifier tonight against Costa Rica in Costa Rica. And the good news, Taylor, there is some weird good news with an asterisk here that I want you to explain for me, because they've essentially, quote unquote, clinched a spot in the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. And so the standings in CONCACAF, which, if you're not familiar, that's the Confederation of North American, Central American, and Caribbean Association football that the U.S. plays in. What do those standings look like right now? What does the U.S. officially need to punch this ticket?
Tonight is quite simply, you can't fall on your face. If the United States does not lose by six goals, they're going to the World Cup. It's basically everyone has looked at it and said, listen, they're 99% in. But the United States have never won a World Cup qualifier in Costa Rica. The United States last go around lost 4-0 to Costa Rica in Costa Rica, which ultimately led to Jurgen Klinsmann being fired. And that's why the game against Panama, for those of you that are watching or those of you that were interested while St. Peter's was getting absolutely waxed by North Carolina, was when you look at it and you see it and you're like, wait a minute, why was everyone on Twitter saying score more, score more, score more? It's very simple for those of you that are not soccer fans. The number one tiebreaker is goal differential.
Pulisic, chance for a second, chance for the Americans fourth in the dying moments of the first half.
Right, so the U.S. needed to score as many goals as they could against Panama to solidify their place in the standings, and yeah, they did exactly that.
Robinson will hook that cross in. Pulisic! Oh, lovely hat-trick! What a night!
You see a guy tonight that is determined to get this team back to Qatar and the World Cup at the end of this year.
So the U.S. beats Panama over the weekend, 5-1. Christian Pulisic has this hat trick, and all that gives the U.S. the goal differential padding, Taylor, that they need, to the point where now I'm looking at the CONCACAF standings, and Canada's in first place, the U.S. is in second, Mexico's in third, and Costa Rica is in fourth, and the top three teams there, they all get an automatic bid to the World Cup. So all of that's great. We're in a great spot. But it's also the perfect time, Taylor, to just rewind again to 4 years ago, to your rant. And I guess, like, for the record here, are you okay with me calling it a rant?
People can call whatever they want because literally I blacked out.
You went unconscious during your soliloquy, let's call it. Your impassioned
you can call it
soliloquy.
A rant. I have no problem. You can call it a rant.
No, I just want to go with the most highbrow. Your your monologue, your torch song. I mean, look, what you had pointed out on national television is this, quote, "With failure should come change."
The arrogance around this sport in our country bothers me, and it has bothered me from the beginning as an ex-player and now in broadcasting. But I end it with this. If the United States and Major League Soccer and everything continues the same road it is on, then you ask real questions.
And then we let these
kids. Failure should come change.
What did end up changing over the following 4 to 5 years now?
It's a great question. Did a lot change? Pablo, I'm going to say no.
Mm.
But the biggest thing that changed is probably the most important thing that changed is that all of a sudden the American player was viewed differently at the highest levels because of what Christian Pulisic did in his initial time at Borussia Dortmund.
Pulisic at the edge of the box. Tries to find a yard. What a hit! And what a start to the season for the US international. Dortmund lead by a goal to nil.
Around a year later, so I'm going to say October 2018, the World Cup had already happened. There were about three or four big-time scouts that said there's going to be 30, 40, maybe 50 Christian Pulisics in Europe within the next 5 to 6 years.
American youth who then go over to develop in the actual, like, top-shelf training programs.
Yes, and playing at a high level, right? Not just training, but playing and contributing. And I said this publicly, and a lot of people disagreed. Well, this year it refurbished because there's 41 players. Contributing in the top 5 or 6 leagues of Europe. Think of that. Christian Pulisic playing at Chelsea, one of the best clubs in the world.
Pulisic has worked his way through. Christian Pulisic gives Chelsea the lead at Wembley in the FA Cup final.
Giovanni Reyna playing at Borussia Dortmund, one of the best German teams.
Beautiful goal! Oh my goodness, what a beautiful goal from Gio Reyna! That is a corker!
Sergiño Dest playing at Barcelona.
Messi driving right at the ailing defender.
Oh! Finds Dest, who finds the back of the net. 2-0 Barcelona.
It's another choir of passes. And Sergiño pummels this one bottom corner.
Tyler Adams playing at RB Leipzig in Germany. Weston McKennie playing at Juventus. Zach Steffen playing at Man City. Matt Turner going to Arsenal. Pablo, the one thing that changed from my soliloquy is that the Americans were now playing at a higher level, and we didn't have that.
The key to all of this is the players. That makes total sense to me. You have these guys at levels that we have not seen from American players that young.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about being stunned by the arrogance of the program,
yes.
I note that the coach changed, the president changed of U.S. soccer. Explain what needed to happen there in terms of arrogance.
There is a belief within the country of the United States of America that we can operate as, quote, United States of America in the sport of soccer, as we do in every other aspect of life. And Pablo, I'm as proud as anyone to be an American.
Yep.
Absolutely. But I've lived in Germany. I've been around the world. We all have our flaws, including the United States of America. But in this sport that is the number one sport in the world, how you could be as arrogant as you are when it's not rooted in success? See, that's where you lose me. And that's where you lost me that fateful night, but you've also lost me for a long time. It's like, wait a minute here. So yeah, you changed the coach, but Pop, I'm going to tell you something. The national team coach, he has as little of impact if the players aren't there, because they're not there every day training.
Mm.
So he's got to bring them together, he or she, if they ever hired a woman, but they've got to bring them together in short amount of time and bring them. But it's not as if he has them for 9 months a year and he can train them. So you've got to compartmentalize the impact of a coach. The president, I mean, Pablo, how many times have you and I had conversations on our network here at ESPN about the way they've treated women and equality and the amount of money, millions and millions of dollars in lawsuits since the fateful night in Trinidad?
Yep.
And that has nothing to do with the failure to qualify for the World Cup. That has everything to do with the arrogance. And so I think U.S. soccer's tried their best and done a good job. I'm not going to say they've done a great job, because I think it's taken way too long to get to this point. But anytime you get punched in the face, anytime you get embarrassed, and couple that with the way that the women wanted to be treated, inequality and everything like that, I think now U.S. soccer's been humble to a certain extent. However, I still have this part of me that's saying this and saying it to you with a smile on my face is, I'll believe it when I see it, though. Like, you got to go to the World Cup. You've got to have arrogance. I don't have a problem with arrogance if it's rooted in success. I have a big problem if it's rooted in insecurity.
Right. I mean, it felt like it was rooted in, you know, Brazil in 2014, the World Cup then, where the U.S. was, I would say, surprisingly impressive. That's the generous but fair way to put it. It's the fact that, yeah, they got to the knockout round. They competed with a top club in Belgium, right? Like, that game was something that I think, yeah, feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, they got out of a group, right, Pablo? They had Germany, Ghana, and Portugal in their group. And I said it on our air on SportsCenter. It's like, there's no way they're getting out of it. So to beat Ghana, who was their nemesis, they should have beat Portugal. But since that point, it's like, okay, are you really arrogant, though? Like, there's still 10 to 14 countries that are better than you. And so that's where this is different, though. And I mean this sincerely. You now have players playing with those top players from other teams at Chelsea and winning the Champions League and playing in the FA Cup final and playing in the Bundesliga and playing for Barcelona, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So now that where you look at it and say, we're so far away, now you're almost not, because you're like, wait a minute, I'm doing that every week. I hope it leads to, honestly, inspiration, because it means you are bridging the gap. So force the issue more and bridge it even closer, and then bury people with the mentality of, I am proud to be an American. I will be arrogant, but I'm going to be arrogant because I beat you. Not because we're the best basketball nation. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Because we won World War II, we therefore have the expectation that we should dominate all things on this planet. No, I mean, Taylor, it also, you know, reminds me, like, something else from that night, right? Like, it sounds like your vision of arrogance, as you want to conceive it here, also precludes excuses like, the field was really wet, man, as it was in Trinidad and Tobago. Or, you know, it's hard to go win in Honduras. Like, give me the psychology around that and how that has maybe evolved since.
First off, Pablo, it is extremely difficult. And for anyone that hasn't done it, you're talking to someone that's been there and seen it, right? And so I'm going to tell you, you're in Honduras. They're going to play the game at 4 in the afternoon. It's 95 degrees. Humidity's at 100%. They're going to open up the stadium at 8 a.m. So when you walk in, everyone is hammered. And I mean hammered. But the night before, you're going to have a wake-up call in your hotel room at 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30 in the morning.
That's an involuntary alarm clock, to be clear.
100%. And yet, come on. Come on. Like, we can't say in the 2014 World Cup, we want to chase Messi in Argentina. We want to chase Ozil in Germany. We want to chase Belgium. But then you're doing that.
Yes, the field behind me here at Otto Bolden Stadium during yesterday's practice was flooded with water, at least parts of it. And the U.S. didn't get to train. But the reality is this. This was a must-win game.
And that's where this thing becomes very interesting to me, because I've called for this company of the last 12 years, UEFA World Cup qualifiers. And I've seen fields, as I said in my soliloquy, that look like a cow pasture. No one's talking about it.
It's remarkable to me when I go in this stupid thing right here at how ignorant people are when the rest of the world, Belgium played Bosnia on a cow pasture, but we can't play in Trinidad with water on the field.
I've seen stadiums that have floodlights that look like three iPhones on a stick. Nobody's complaining about it. But the United States has every resource in the book. Every single country in CONCACAF, Pablo, would die to have our resources.
Give me a sense of the financial disparity, Taylor, because I don't think people appreciate how the U.S. ranks relative to the rest of this group.
There's no resource that the United States doesn't have. When I mean private planes, when I mean your own chef. So when you're traveling to these places, you're in control of what you're eating, because that is a huge part of how the game can be jeopardized. The last United States game I went to, I counted 17 staff members on the field, not including the coaches. 17.
Wow.
Now, who they were, I don't know. And I'm a former member of the team. The United States has every resource in the world. The players are in the top five highest paid players for their federation in the world. So there's no argument of, we couldn't prepare.
I mean, one of the things you've been calling for this whole time, Taylor, is like taking the kid gloves off of criticism about this organization too. And I understand why fully now. And I now want to be fair to what you're seeing now, because this iteration of this team, what is your critique of them? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses?
Their strengths are they're young and dumb. And I like it. And what I mean by that is that as a group, there's only one player within this group, maybe two, that was part of that 17 debacle. They don't have it. They're kind of creating their own history. Now, there's a lot of bumps in the road when you have that, Pablo, because you don't have experience. And that's the one thing the United States, I think, needed getting to this final game. Those bumps in the road, they could have used a little bit more experience in moments. But I love the fact that they're proving everyone wrong and wanting to prove something for themselves. They want to start the rebirth, if that makes any sense. They don't really use the word redemption, but I guarantee you when they get a result against Costa Rica, you're going to hear the word redemption, but yet this group's going to feel like they want to prove something else. The team that played Panama, the average age is under 25. Mm. The entire World Cup qualifying, the average age has been anywhere from 24 to 23. And so that's why I'm telling you, the 2022 World Cup is not how I'm going to judge this group. It's 2026. Because majority of this roster, albeit if they're healthy and playing at a high level, they're involved. Now you've got some momentum and cohesion as a group, which is very unusual for the men's national team.
And speaking of unusual, Taylor, I need to ask you about the major European powerhouse who's not going to be at the World Cup in November after the break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So, Taylor, I want to use your status here as a worldly man of culture to spin around the globe for a second.
That's debatable, buddy.
Well, you know, you're calling these international matches.
It's true. Good point. Good
and
point.
And
good
literally, point. If not figuratively, I think that's appropriate to call you. So I want to get to what we saw. Like, this was truly shocking, even if you know only a little bit about the World Cup, because World Cup qualifying outside of CONCACAF has been insane.
Oh, yeah.
The Italian national team, that's a team that for most of us, I would wager, we think of when we think of like world football, international soccer.
Yep.
They're not going to be in Qatar for this World Cup later this year. What happened?
Unbelievable. Dude, second straight World Cup, they're not in it. And it's sandwiched around winning the European Championships.
Right.
Like, Pablo, they won their continent.
I don't understand this because the Euros is, for those who are not familiar, that is an enormous deal.
Oh, but Pablo, for the listeners, it's very close to the quality of the World Cup. Some would argue it may be higher because you don't have the CONCACAF nations of the United States, Mexico.
You don't have us in it.
Honestly, when you look at the European Championships, there's a real good argument that it's up there with the World Cup. Now, the World Cup's always going to be greater because it's bigger, naturally. So the nut of it is this. They haven't produced a goal scorer in a long, long time. And the Italian national team has always had someone that could get you a goal in a moment. They have, and we saw it during the European Championships on ESPN, a ton of goal creators, fantastic players that support that. So if they had a goal getter, they'd be in the top three teams I've listed to go win the World Cup, not qualify, win it. Mm. But they don't have it. And so you get these games where they draw. Pablo, I don't know if you saw my tweet. But for the listeners at home, they've lost twice in their last 43 games.
Wow.
Only twice. And that is Spain in the Nations League and North Macedonia in the World Cup playoff.
So you got to explain the difference between Spain and North Macedonia, Taylor.
Oh, my word. Spain and North Macedonia is St. Peter's and Duke. Easily, right? Italy outshot North Macedonia in the first 35 minutes of the game, 16-0. They outshot them 31-3, and they lost.
Italy lose possession, and it's worth a crack! It's just astonishing! North Macedonia strike in added time! Italy's hearts are broken here in Palermo. An astonishing upset.
And so here's the reason why Italy's not in the World Cup. I gave you the technical reason why.
Right.
The real reason is in World Cup qualifying, and this is why this sport is the greatest in the world, because there is accountability for every game you play other than a friendly. They tied 4 of their last 8 games. So, Pablo, against the Bulgarias of the world and against Ireland and against Switzerland, you can't tie. In Europe, you've got to win your group, and if you finish second, you go to a playoff. And if you put yourself in a playoff, this can happen. Italy's not going. And honestly, it's devastating, Pablo, for Serie A and the domestic league. And anyone that tells you otherwise, they're full of it, because this thing, to do it back-to-back World Cups for a nation that had never missed a World Cup, honestly, who's the Italian, what are we doing right now?
That was literally about to say, where is the Italian Taylor Twellman to do his own soliloquy? But I do also want to talk to you here about another international team, a different one closer to home here, because again, at the very top of the CONCACAF standings is Canada. And when I think of CONCACAF, I think of America, I think of Mexico, that rivalry as heated as it is. But what is the deal with Canada right now?
Where were you in 1986?
I was 1 year old. And so I like you, in your speech, was unconscious in terms of, processing the reality around me.
That was the last time Canada was in the World Cup.
Man.
Isn't that crazy?
Man.
In the United States, was 1990 that started that cycle. So that 1986 World Cup, the generation of players in the United States, Pablo, to give you perspective, their favorite team growing up was Canada, because they were in. The United States wasn't even in. So the Alexi Lawlesses of the world, they grew up with Canada competing at the highest level and getting there. They have not been there since then. They are one of the best reclamation projects I think this sport has seen in the last 70 years. They have fantastic humility about them. They've done it without the resources that the United States have, exponential. And yet, you could argue they've got arguably 2 of the best 4 players in the Confederation, and Alphonso Davies and Jonathan David. And so I think they're developing players at a different rate. I think Major League Soccer has contributed that to a higher level. I think Canada is going to be in this now. And I said this when they qualified. I think they're going to be in it for the next 2 to 3 World Cups at least, because this generation of players is special. They're playing at a higher level over in Europe, and it's just better that they're in it. Honestly, I've said this. It's just, they're our neighbors. We love them, but the sport's better because that team deserves to be in. And in my opinion, they've been better than the traditional powerhouse of Costa Rica. They've been better than Mexico. There's not even an argument there.
Well, Taylor, are they better than us right now? Are they better than the United States?
It's close. So part of me wants to say yes, if I'm being honest, but then part of me says, hold on here, right? I don't know if they are, but I do believe they're on par. So I'm not going to say they're better, but I'm not also going to say they're worse because of what they've done to the United States. We never used to lose to Canada. And I've literally been on the microphone and they've beaten the United States twice, right? So when push comes to shove, I think it's 5 one way, 5 another. I think if they played 10 games, you're looking at a 5-5 record, because I think they're on par.
I do want to get back to the whole subject of what the U.S. is like now, Taylor, and how much the team has clearly evolved since you were playing, because I do want to be fair to you here. Like, you had a very decorated career. You played professionally here in the MLS, scored a billion goals. You played for the men's national team.
Yep.
But when I played FIFA growing up and I, you know, felt patriotic, I would be controlling you.
Pablo, I had an overall of like 59 and I was like, yes.
It was tough, dude. It really tested my love of country.
I mean, in fairness, part of the 59 was, you know, my head size was larger than everyone else. I could jump out of the gym. My fitness was terrible. It was actually all kind of true, to be honest with you. But now these kids are playing Barcelona.
I know. That's where it begins to feel surreal. Yeah.
Like, if you and I were 10 right now and we're playing with Barcelona, Chelsea, Juventus, Dortmund, Bayern Munich, it's all guys that grew up here. It's all kids that were here. You're like, wait a minute, this feels weird. We didn't create the player with EA Sports and put him in there.
Yep.
No, they're literally here. Pub, I don't think we can measure that intangible when it comes to it, because now there is 11, 12, and 13-year-olds right now that now aren't dreaming of it. They believe it. And that is a massive difference. That is the biggest difference in the world, where they're like, well, wait a minute, Christian can do it. Serginho can do it. Now I can do it. Sure. And the other part is, which is more important than anything, the European scout looks at it and says, oh, they can. All of a sudden, Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola and all these big managers around the world, they're like, you know, they like the attitude of the American. They like the aggression of the American. They love the willingness to go all in, which sometimes they don't get from the other players around the world. Pablo, absolutely 100%. That will be the most thing talked about, I think, 10 years. When you and I do this podcast or this conversation before the 26th World Cup, dude, that's going to be interesting, because you and I are talking 4 years after a debacle. What is the 4 years after going to Qatar, and then you have this generation, but what's the generation after them?
Right.
Buddy, this could be insane.
Well, you mentioned dreams. I want to explore a hypothetical nightmare with you here, Taylor.
Okay.
Because you explained the basic math, right? If the United States men's national team manages to lose 6-0 to Costa Rica, and Costa Rica is a quality team, to be sure, but one that has never scored more than 4 goals against the United States, what is Taylor Twellman doing?
Pablo, I would have a brain aneurysm live on air. I know I would.
Would your shirt be off before the aneurysm?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, put it this way. If Costa Rica got to the 4-goal lead, and there's more than 10 minutes to go, I am completely stark naked in Bristol, Connecticut, running around doing anything I can while also dialing 911 because something is going to happen. I'm telling you, it would be the end of the world for this guy.
Gotta say, Taylor, when you put it like that,
you kind of want it to happen.
Kind of want it to happen, man. Taylor Twellman, maybe you're a 57 in FIFA, but to be clear, you are number one in our hearts.
You're an ass. I was 59.
59. Ugh. 59, I am sorry. Taylor Twellman, a 99 on that broadcasting slider. Thank you truly for joining us.
Number 20 in your program, number one in your heart, Pablo.
There it is. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.